Holy Spirit, just come, Revelator, speak to us today. Shake us up a little bit and give us ears to hear what you want to say today. Come and teach us. Come and illumine your goodness and your grace. Thank you. Thank you for speaking in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thus saith the Lord. We're on Thus saith the Lord. We'll probably be here for a long time because I really want to unpack, you know, the voice of the Lord. And we're going to eventually get to dealing with and breaking down prophecy and all those things. But we want that in the house. We want to be mature in that. You know, the Word of God says that you should excel in your prophecy. You should excel in the gifts. It doesn't say you should have them. It says you should be excellent in the use of them. So we want to be excellent in the use of the spiritual gifts. Amen. If he gave us tools to build the shed, let's use the tools. And we got spiritual tools. I don't want you ignorant of spirituals. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, I do not want you ignorant of pneumaticus, spirituals. It's not even spiritual gifts. It's spirituals. We tucked in gifts, but it's, I don't want you ignorant of spiritual things. And we want to get very, very excellent in the prophetic. Amen? In a time when the prophetic is being attacked, we want to fight back. And we want to stand for it because it says, you shall not despise prophecy. And so we want the word of the Lord not just to be heard, but we want it to be accurate, clear, and excellent. In Jesus' name. Thank you. All right. Thus saith the Lord. I'm going to talk about the Holy Ghost today because it's Pentecost Sunday. But you can't operate in the prophetic without Holy Spirit. You really have to. So it's very, very important that we do that. So A.W. Tozer, in The Pursuit of God, he said, we need never shout across the spaces to an absent God. He is nearer than our own soul. He is closer than our most secret thoughts. That's where we sang a song, and it's good. I love to sing about the Holy Spirit, but sometimes when we're saying, you know, come rest on us, And I think that's good. And we want the corporate expression of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit rests on you already. You know, so sometimes by doing that, we sometimes create a language of distance. You know, please come. Hope you're going to come. Would you please rest on us? Well, he does rest on us. There's no space. There's no distance. I still like the songs, but I'm cautious that we don't develop a distance between us and God and a begging or a pleading. Would you please show up today? Because he's here. Say, welcome, Holy Spirit. You know, and he's right here. Just touch your belly. Touch your belly. It says on the great day of the feast, he stood up and he said, you're pouring water down these steps, but this is all a type of me. I mean, if you want the Holy Spirit to flow out of your belly, come to me and drink and rivers will flow. So where is the Holy Spirit right now? Touch your belly. You know what's going to flow out of your belly? Rivers of living water. So we are not beggars. We are on the side of the covenant where, you see, in the Gospels, often we see people chasing after Jesus. And so we sometimes think that, oh, Jesus, please, we're chasing after him to come touch you. We're not chasing Jesus anymore. See, after Pentecost, Peter and John went to the gate beautiful, and they didn't say, hey, you, look to Jesus and be healed. They said, look at us. They didn't say, look at Jesus. They didn't come and say, we asked Jesus to touch you. They said, look at us. And see, you got to realize that Christ in you is the hope of glory. You are the champion of all good things everywhere you go. Anywhere where there's darkness, you are the light of the world. As he is, so are we in this world. And so they said, look at us. When they had Dorcas was not well, they went and got Peter. Peter, come heal her. Peter healed Dorcas. He didn't say, well, let me find Jesus and I'll bring him along. They sought after Peter. So when people need to be healed, they're going to seek after you. I mean, Jesus did his part. High five. Holy Ghost came, took up residence here. Now we are the dispensers of all heavenly favor. Amen. Amen. You wake up every day, the Holy Spirit's, come on, let's go wreck the kingdom of darkness. Let's loose light everywhere we go today. And you don't even have to do it on purpose. I mean, Peter's shadow was an unconscious effect. He's just going to Becker's. But we don't even have Becker's anymore. Max Milk. I don't know. What do we got? He's just going to the store to get some milk, and people are getting healed as he's just doing everyday stuff. An unconscious effect is way more significant than a conscious effect. I mean, we should, you know, go after healing and all those things, but how authentic is it when just unconsciously out of your belly is flowing a river of water? Are you baptized in the Holy Ghost? You are a carrier of all good things. Always, everywhere, God is present, and always he seeks to discover himself to each one. And that's through you. 2 Corinthians 13:14, the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Say intimate. The intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That was Catherine Kuhlman's favorite verse. Because she realized that I do all that I do out of the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. 9 years old, she was in my home at 9 years old. I was in Peterborough, and I said, that's the home where I met Catherine Kuhlman as a nine-year-old. And I went to her meetings, and I preferred seating, and I was sitting there watching everything every night. And she preached the same sermon every night. I thought, you'd think you'd have another word. I mean, my God. And somewhere different in each of those times, that sermon, the Holy Spirit just, move over, Catherine, let me come out. And man, people popping out of wheelchairs, people getting healed, calling things out. I was like, Lord mercy. A girl we used to carry up the stairs because she couldn't walk was healed, and we all went back to school the next week. She went up the stairs all on her own. That'll change the school. I don't want the best miracles back in the Bible. I don't want the best miracles in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I don't want the best miracles back when Catherine Kuhlman visited. I want to walk and manifest those today. I want to be a dispenser of heavenly favor. Amen. The amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Say, Holy Spirit. You're my best friend. Wow. That kind of hit me. Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. I say that on Sundays when we ask people to just receive Christ. And I want them to not receive an experience, but I do want them to experience the witness of the person of the Holy Spirit that he comes in and says, you're a child of God. Wow. You're a child of God. The Nicene Creed, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who was spoken through the prophets. That's a Nicene Creed. That's an Orthodox confession of our church fathers. It's one of the foundations of who we are as a Christian movement. The Nicene Creed, we believe in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The Westminster Confession of Faith, the Holy Spirit, the third person, say person. He's not Casper the Friendly Ghost. He's a person. Turn to the person next to you. You're a person. And the Holy Ghost is a person. He's the third person of the Godhead. The Trinity, proceeding from the Father and the Son, of the same substance, of equal power and glory, is together with the Father and the Son to be believed in, loved, obeyed, and worshiped throughout all ages. Now, some people are like, we need to worship the Father, and you can worship Jesus, but the Holy Spirit, he doesn't want any attention brought to him. Well, the Westminster Confession, one of our early church confessions, it says, worship the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Godhead is one. They are co-equal, co-essential, and co-union. There's no division in the Godhead. It's not like, well, at Impact, they talk more about you today. It's kind of a bummer. Hardly even talked about me. The Godhead's very, very happy when each are adored and worshiped. They're not like, hey, give me some equal time over here. There's no ego in the Godhead. They're all okay. And you know what? You are in complete fellowship with the Godhead. The fellowship that you have with the Godhead, the same fellowship Jesus has with his Father, you have with the Father. So good. D.G. Dunn, he said, a church that seeks to restrict and control the Spirit as too dangerous and unpredictable may be safe, but it has signed its own death warrant. A church that seeks to follow where the Spirit leads will have to expect the unexpected and be prepared to be shaken to the core. But that's life, the life of the Spirit. Did you read that? It's good stuff right there. John Calvin. And I have a love-hate relationship with John Calvin. John Calvin had some issues, but he did some good things. Some of our reformers had a bit of truth. And sometimes when, sadly, what happened with a lot of reformers, with the truth that they brought into manifestation, they were so defensive of that they didn't want anything new. And they had a hard time accepting anything new. But you know, God's doing a new thing. And it was like John the Baptist. John the Baptist, he had a message of, you know, he wanted to see retribution and justice. He wanted to see the enemies of God judged. But Jesus interrupted the whole prophetic message. And Jesus never even mentioned the day of the vengeance of our God. He prophesied over the Old Testament text, and he realigned it to today, jubilee, today, liberty, today, freedom has come in the hearing of my voice. And when Jesus said that, everybody's mad at him and said, oh, are you a prophet? Because what he did was, he was bringing a change to the written word. He was saying something. He was deleting something that was in the revelation of Isaiah. You can't do that. And you know what he said to him? He said, well, listen, do you remember when a guy who was a leper, he's the only one who got touched in all of Israel? You remember that? Do you remember when there was and that guy was the leader of the Syrian group. He was the general who just destroyed our armies. And that guy, who we would consider an enemy, that guy got healed. And then he said, you remember the woman? I mean, everybody was in poverty in Israel, but the prophet went outside of Israel and he ministered to a foreigner, a foreign widow, and she was blessed and the whole community was blessed through her, while all of Israel was in bondage and abject poverty. And when he said that, he's telling them, the people that you think we should despise are where God wants to reach out and to bless. The things that you think should be judged and should be fire should be called upon, you don't know what spirit you're of. God is a God of restoration for all. He's a blessing for all. Today's a declaration of the day of our Lord, liberty of all the captives and freedom. But we don't understand. We still, some of us, even some of us folks in 2026, we still got the vengeance thing. We still have defined our enemies and we want God to judge them. You know, actually God wants you to love them. Anyway, that was thrown in there just because Calvin actually had a guy who wrote him letters and didn't like some of his writings. And it was a fella in France, and they were corresponding. And you know what Calvin did? Calvin went with a few other pastors. They got the guy, tied him to a stake, and burnt him as a heretic. Anyway, I just saw Calvin, and I went down a different road. That was for somebody. I don't know. As long as Christ remains outside of us and we are separated from him, all that he has suffered and done for us, the salvation of the human race remains useless and of no value. As long as Christ, the anointed one and his anointings, are separated from us or outside of us, we can't get much done. D.L. Moody said, you might as well try to hear without ears and breathe without lungs as try to live the Christian life without the Spirit of God in your heart. Amen. Can I get an amen? Holy Spirit is a person. Say, Holy Spirit's a person. Acts 10:19 says, while Peter was there, while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, the Spirit, capital S Spirit, spoke to him. The Holy Spirit, the person of the Godhead, spoke to Peter, and he said, behold, three men are seeking you. The person of the Holy Ghost speaks, and he will speak to you. John 16:7-13 is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I do depart, I will send him to you. And when he comes or she comes, I hope you're okay with that. But the Spirit of truth, personally, when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. Amen. It's to your advantage that I go away. Now that had to freak them out, because spending time with Jesus was pretty amazing. You're living every day with, wow, what's he going to do today? Oh boy. You wake up, you wonder, wow, what are we going to see today? Remember yesterday fed like 5,000 men and all those other people. Oh my goodness, everybody was healed. Wonder what today's going to happen. Well, that's you now. What's going to happen with you? Because Jesus did what he did by the presence and power of the Holy Ghost. And so you now, the helper will come to you. And helper is the word allos, not heteros. Heteros means something similar, but allos means something exactly the same. So when the Holy Spirit is on you, the exact same help that you would have got from Jesus if he were with you, now the exact same help is not with you, that exact same help is in you. And that's why it's better, because Jesus with you would be awesome. But listen, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead in you is more awesome. Thank you, Jen. All right, the front row can stay. The rest of you are dismissed. All right. All right, Kenneth Hagin, he said, they thought they got an experience, and they kept on trying to get another experience like that one. But it was someone. It was a divine personality who came to live in them. He is a heavenly being. He is the Holy Spirit. John Crowder. Just going to do that for a few of my friends in the room. Can't have a sermon without a John Crowder quote. It's a new rule. All right. John said, the only interaction you have ever had with God has been through the agency of the Holy Spirit. The only interaction you have ever had with God has been through the person of the Holy Ghost. Say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Ephesians 2:18, for through him, Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Because of what Jesus has done in his finished work, we now by the Spirit have access to the Father. There's the Trinity. There's the Godhead. Personality. What's a personality? You ready? Personality is a pattern, a collective character, behavioral, temperamental, emotional, and mental traits of a person. That's the definition of a personality or a soul. So the Holy Spirit is a person because the Holy Spirit has a soul. Did you know that? Did you know that the Holy Spirit has a soul? Three people. All right. What is a soul? A living soul is a mind. There's thinking, there's a will, there's desires, there's emotions, there's feelings. So the Holy Spirit manifests all of those things. God, the Holy Spirit, has a soul. And it says right there in Hebrews 10:29-38, it says, and insulted the Spirit of grace. The Holy Spirit can be insulted. Now the just shall live by faith, and if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. The context of that is talking about the Holy Spirit, saying the Holy Spirit has a soul. The Holy Spirit is omniscient, all-knowing and thinking. The Holy Spirit is omnipotent, has all power, can exert influence. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent, which means all presence. He is felt and he can feel. Did you know the Holy Ghost has feelings? But he's not fickle. He's not like, whoo. He's not like, Holy Ghost is a dove. He's not a dove. He came down out of heaven. It was like a dove. I'm explaining his descent. I'm not explaining his character. A lot of people, Holy Ghost is a dove. No, he came down as a dove. He's not a dove. Holy Spirit's like a dove. No, he falls like a dove. He's not like a dove. He isn't like a dove himself, but how he came. How can I explain how he came? The Holy Spirit came and descended. Ooh, it looked like a dove. Didn't say the Holy Ghost is a dove. Stop it. All right. But I love the dove teaching. Well, God bless you. If it helped you, that's nice. All right. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, the joy of the Holy Spirit. The joy of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit thinks. 1 Corinthians 2:10-16. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of him that we might know. So the Holy Spirit is going to speak to us. He's going to talk to us in our thinker. The Holy Spirit's going to come express himself so we can know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Holy Spirit, what are you thinking right now? How should I think about this? What is your thought on this? The Holy Spirit is thinking, and the Holy Spirit wants to affect your thinking. Holy Spirit exerts his will. Now when they had gone through in the region of Galatia, they were forbidden. That's a strong word, isn't it? Forbidden. It's like if you're walking towards a door and somebody says, hey, you're forbidden to go in here. I mean, that's a strong exertion. Stay out. You're not allowed in there. It says they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit said, hey, stop. You're not allowed to go in there. That's a good thing. Sometimes you're going into a situation you shouldn't be going into, and you know what? The Holy Spirit will exert his will and influence on you, and by the Holy Spirit, they were turned in a different direction, and they were forbidden to preach the word in Asia. So, Holy Spirit, what do you think? But you can also say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? Are you guys okay? How many are saying, oh, well, this is okay. I'm getting something here. All right. All right, three people. All right. The Holy Spirit has emotions. It says there's the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Not the fruits, but the fruit, the character, the nature of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Holy Spirit, how do you feel? You can grieve the Spirit. You can experience joy with the Spirit. You can resist. Isn't it crazy that little old me can resist God? You can resist the Holy Spirit. So you don't want to do that. So Holy Spirit, what are you thinking? Holy Spirit, what are you doing? Holy Spirit, how do you feel? So these are all relational questions. Communication is vital to relationship. You have to be very well acquainted with his voice. Amen. 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 Who's excited so far? That'll help you pay attention right there. What are they clapping about? Hearing, you ready? Hearing the voice of the Spirit is innate. It's in your DNA. My sheep hear my voice, they follow me. Any sheep here today? You were built to hear his voice. It's innate. You can hear his voice. Trust me, you can hear God speaking to you. You can do that. Please, you know, you got a walkie-talkie, right? When you press the button, you speak. Blah, 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 blah. If you take your hand off the button, you can hear. Take your hand off the button. Love you. God, he's speaking, but you won't take your stinking finger off the button. Shut up for a minute. Yea, the Lord says, thou shalt shut up for a minute. Let me speaketh to you, saith the Lord. All right. It's in your DNA. You can do it. It's learned. It's learned. You can learn. You can learn the voice of God. You can learn the voice of the Spirit. You can learn. You can, like with children, you got some words, and we were having lunch the other day, and George was trying to steal something from Kennard's plate. And he said, well, I want that. He says, well, then use your words. You should have asked me. So he was just communicating, I'm going to take from you, whereas Kennard's saying, I would give it to you if you'd use your words. Learn to be a real human, and I mean, do this properly. Don't just dive into my plate. I just thought I'd share that with you, but I don't know. But use your words. Use your words. Talk, speak. It's learned. It's matured. You can step into revelation knowledge. You can mature. You can get better at it. Learn to excel in these things. How many are working on hearing the voice of God? How many are working on being more accurate in what he's saying? How many are working on your relationship? Because this all says he's a person, which means your involvement with God is relational. Relational. It's a relationship. But I'll tell you, the word of God is attacked. In Mark 4:15, Satan comes immediately to take the word. So sometimes when the Spirit speaks to you, the enemy's going to come right behind and say, that wasn't him. You don't want to do that. And you'll be in church sometimes, hear a word and go, I'm going to take that. And the enemy, the birds of the air, they come and steal it from you before you even get to your car. You're headed to your car going, oh, it's good. Lord, help me enforce that. Gone. The enemy attacks the word. He attacks the word, the logos, the revelation of God, the rhema in your life. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. Proverbs 3:6 says, listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. So listen to God's voice in everything. Listen to God's voice everywhere, because he's the one who will keep you on track. Amen. You don't look like you follow God. You don't look like you're paying attention to his voice. Your life's a wreck, says the Lord. Sorry, did that get a bit personal? You know, he really does want to guide you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to lead you into all truth. He wants to empower everything you do. He wants to make you look like a genius where you work. He wants the workplace to wonder what's going on. He wants to have people come and say, you know, I think our business is blessed because of you. Because you bring the creativity of heaven. You bring the truth, the revelation of God. Amen. Deborah had her job evaluation at the London Health Sciences Center, and she brought it to us, came to the office and brought us her job evaluation. And she said, you got the highest marks on your evaluation this year because of the transferable skills you learned from your church. Isn't that right, Debbie? She's right there. Deborah's right there. And she brought that. That was the most wonderful thing I had ever received as a pastor. That meant that beyond these four walls, somebody's life was expressing Christ. Because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get Christ in the community, in the workplace, on the baseball field, on the golf course, everywhere you go and everything you do, God's voice is giving you an advantage to be excellent in everything you do. All right, settle down. All right, thank you, hallelujah, hallelujah. Proverbs, blesses the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates. You're watching, you're paying attention, you're waiting on God. Wait, say waiting. Waiting on God. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me to wait, Lord. Waiting on the Lord, waiting at your post in your doors. So God is speaking right now. God is speaking to you right now. Listen to me right now. Pay attention now. If you haven't been paying attention the whole time, pay attention right now. Because he's speaking to you right now. Right now. And I want you to say, Lord, what would you like me to tell the person next to me? Right now, I want to prophesy to the person next to me, and I want to speak a word to them. Just open your heart right now. Just take a second and say, Lord, what do you want me to say to the person next to me? You ready? You ready to prophesy? Most of you receive this word. Most of you receive this. I want you to know God loves you. How many received that word for your neighbor? Put your hand up if that was the word you received. Put your hand up really high. Wave it around. Isn't that amazing? And you know what? That's the best word you could give them. Now, some of you received, you know, the word, yea, the Lord would say, darkness is coming upon your life. Horrible things will happen. Summer is not coming this year, saith the Lord. It shall be rain and doom. Shut up! Prophetic words are for comfort, exhortation, and for encouragement. Can you say comfort? Yea, darkness is... Shut up. You are the light of the world. Ding, 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 ding. God is for you, not against you. Summer's going to be awesome. Because you know what? Who cares what's going out there? Because the sunshine is right in here. You're going to have a bright, prosperous, beautiful summer. That's the word of the Lord. Amen. And if you're going to prophesy anything ever, it should always be super duper wrapped in love. Love.